Wonderful singing tonight from Christine, Paul, and Sister Elise there. And appreciate that family. Amen. I don't say that enough, but appreciate their faithfulness. Amen. Do love them, appreciate them, and appreciate all you good folks. I often say this, but I've been here almost going on 5 years. Next year, next March, will be 5 years. Hard to believe, isn't it? The time just flies by. But man, God is just, I just feel like such a wonderful family here. Amen. We love you and we appreciate it. I mean that. And I say it with tears in my eyes because I love you. I do. And I love worshiping with you, coming to church with you, and I love you. Amen. 1 Kings today, chapter 10. And we just love what God's doing. We love the Lord. And I thank God for church. Amen. Thank God for it. Amen. I tell you this all the time, but just this, the beauty of unity. Amen. How wonderful it is to dwell together in unity. You know, I just think of all the things that this church is able to accomplish through giving to missions. Brother Tom was telling us yesterday in the board meeting, just even on the internet, things you don't think about. People that tune in through the internet and listen to sermons. He said several thousand people. I said, I always knew I'd pastor a mega church. And I know that's not just us. It's just technology is a blessing. Amen. It can be used for the glory of God. So some pastors do this, but even those that listen through the internet, God bless them as well. Amen. Appreciate and trust God will just continue to use us as a church to bless through missions, giving this time of need, different things. God is just so good to us. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 10 this evening. I want to preach to you some familiar verses with you. You know this story here tonight. And no doubt you're familiar with it. But I can't remember before. I know I've made mention. There was something I seen years ago. And it was referring to these verses of Scripture. And it said, seeing the kingdom through the eyes of a stranger. Seeing the kingdom through the eyes of a stranger. And that's what I want to preach on here this evening. Seeing the kingdom through the eyes of a stranger. 1 Kings chapter 10, going to start reading in verse 1, and we will go all the way down to verse 10. When the queen Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. She came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices, and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. When the queen of Sheba had seen all of Solomon's wisdom in the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up unto the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. If we were to use that in modern English, it took her breath away. It took her breath away is actually what that means there. Verse 6, and she said to the king, it was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and my eyes have seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame that I heard. Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighteth in thee, to set thee on the throne of Israel. Because the Lord loved Israel forever, therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice. And she gave the king 120 talents of gold and spices very great store and precious stones. There came no more such abundance of spices as these which the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. Seeing the kingdom through the eyes of a stranger. How many knows we need fresh perspective? We need fresh perspective. Amen. Let's pray and ask God to help us. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you this evening. And God, I have really felt this message this evening in my heart. God, I would that you would awaken our hearts right now, Holy Ghost. Oh Lord, we can get so accommodated to the kingdom. We can get so accommodated to the king. But this evening, Lord, I believe if we look through the eyes of a stranger, God, we can be so blessed this evening by realizing and seeing just how blessed we are. How blessed we are to be a part of the church of Jesus Christ. We love you today in Jesus' name. Have your way in this service. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Many of us are familiar with the story of the Queen of Sheba. I'm sure there's been somewhere in your life, if you've been in church any amount of time, for amount of time, that you probably heard a reference to the story. as it is mentioned here in 1 Kings, it's mentioned in the book of Chronicles, and also our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ makes mention of this in the book of Matthew and also in the book of Luke. But we have to ask the question, who is this queen, Sheba? And we look in the Bible, and I begin doing a little studying about who she was. And basically, we don't have a whole lot of information about who she is. No, really, not a whole lot of historical information. But we do know this, that she was wealthy, that she was powerful, and that she was a queen. As a matter of fact, when we look at the area of Sheba there, I did a little reading about that even this afternoon to refresh my memory. It is an ancient land, and you first find it in the Bible in the book of Genesis, chapter 10, and verse 28. We also understand that most likely reading in the Bible and doing a little bit of study here, that she was from most likely Ethiopia, is a lot of common thoughts, and even some more modern thought is maybe Yemen, which is kind of a common thought as well. But I began thinking, I even wrote down the question in my notes, and I needed to answer this before I got in the pulpit here this evening, just how far would Ethiopia be from Jerusalem and from that area in which Solomon was? And I did a little reading about this, and as I studied it a little bit, it was around 2,172 miles. Now, when I read that, and I tried to do a little more making sure, I said, man, that's mighty far. Maybe something was wrong and something like this, but reading it, and there's somebody else said maybe 1,000 miles if it was this area. Regardless, we would have to agree she came a very long ways to see King Solomon. And once again, she didn't go down to the nice international airport and got on a nice plane and paid the fare and just, you know, had a little pack of peanuts given to her along the way, enjoyed the trip. No, that's not how it was. This was a journey. She came, as the Bible says, with a great company, a train and gifts and all of these things. And so this is, I find that amazing about her. Her desire to see Solomon, what she had heard about him. And that's the first point I would make here this evening. And again, just like last Sunday night, I just was writing down things as I was reading these verses and doing a little studying. So this is just kind of some thoughts that just jumped out to me while reading the Bible, reading these passages there in the Bible. And my little outline that I've put together here tonight, my first point is this, is that she heard. She heard. It says that in verse 1. It says, and when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon. So number one, that's what she heard of. She heard of his fame. She heard of the glories of his kingdom. And if you study even ancient history, you would understand that Solomon's kingdom was glorious above all. My, how wealthy he was, and just the wisdom that he had. But that's not all it said. It says she heard of the fame of Solomon, and it says concerning the name of the Lord, the God that he served. Not only did she hear that, man, Solomon has got a wonderful kingdom, and Solomon has a nice house and a nice temple and tabernacle. Not only did she know that, but she realized that it was concerning the Lord that he served. My God, let it be said of us again that we not be known for our facilities, and we not be known by just the way we dressed in that sense, or not by our money or finances, but God, let us be known concerning the name of the Lord. Let his name be glorified in our lives. Amen. There's much in our society that people deem wonderful and powerful and say, well, this person over here drives this vehicle or lives maybe in this house or has this amount of money. Don't let that be known of us, oh my, but let it be known of us concerning the name of the Lord. Not only did she hear, but number two, she came. Hallelujah. She came. You find that in verse 2, and it said she came to Jerusalem. So we understand that she came. She made this journey. Great effort. Great effort was extended here. A lot of money would have been invested in this trip. That's because she's heard at great distance about Solomon, and heard about his Lord, and heard about this kingdom. And here she is. The Bible says she came with a great train, had camels and bare spices and much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him all that was in her heart. So here it is that she comes in this great caravan. And the Bible says that she came and she came to Solomon and she communed with him all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. That was not anything anything hid from the king which he told her. Here it is. We have this picture of this queen traveling at great distance, traveling with a great caravan of wealth and riches, but she has questions in her heart. There's things that she has to have answered, things that she wants to know. And brothers and sisters, once again, let's say this as well. Let this be a place that people come, that they realize, I have questions, I have riddles in my heart. There's many dark things in this world they won't answer, but let it be us here at Abundant Life Tabernacle that can help answer the questions of their heart. It's not wrong for them to ask questions. It's not wrong for them to even take our faith and put it to the test. We want to welcome that. Amen. We want to welcome their questions and their heartaches and their difficult situations. That's what we need to be as a church. She came and said even to test him, and said told all that was in her heart. And you read here about these dark sayings or these riddles or these questions, and it's actually the same word that is used of Samson when he goes to this group of men and had those riddles and questions that he gave to them. As a matter of fact, she's coming to prove Solomon, if you to translate it in that context. She's coming to figure out if the God that he serves and the wisdom that he claims to have, if it can be put to the test, if he has the answer. And church, once again, the world can put us to the test. And I'm telling you, God's word will stand. We can answer the questions of their hearts. It says that there in this verse. And it says that it says, and came to him and communed with him all that was in her heart. She felt that she could be vulnerable with Solomon. This is what's in my heart. Do you have an answer for me? And brothers, sisters, we can have an answer to a world that is seeking, just like the Queen of Sheba is right here. She tried to test him. She had hard questions. It tells us that in verse 1 as well. And guess what? It tells us, number 3, my third point. Number 1, she heard. Number 2, she came. And number 3, Solomon answered. She heard, she came, and Solomon answered. And let that be said of us as well. Verse 3 tells us that. And Solomon told her all her questions. That was not anything hid from the king, which he told her not. So here it is. She has these questions. He's able to answer them. He's able to explain them. In one way or another, Solomon was the first apologist. He could defend his God. He could defend his faith. And we can as well. We can defend what we believe in these last days. Much like it says in 1 Peter 3:15, that we should be ready to give an answer to those that come and ask us about our hope. If they come through those doors, we shouldn't feel like they can't ask us questions. We should say, bring them on, bring them on. We may need to go do a little studying. We may need to pray about some difficult things that they may ask us. But nevertheless, I believe with God's help, He can give us the wisdom and the mind and the wisdom of the Holy Ghost to answer absolutely anything that they should ask. She heard, she came, and he answered. But my fourth point tonight, which is really probably the more exciting point in my mind and study, not only does she hear, not only does she come, and not only does Solomon give an answer, but she saw. She saw it. How many knows people need to see the kingdom? The visible expression of the kingdom of God. God is a spirit. Amen. The visible expression of God's kingdom is His people. It is His church. It is His body. We're looking at the Old Testament here in this sense. God's man was Solomon. And it says right here, verses 4 and 5. It says, and when the Queen of Sheba had seen all of Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built. Notice that she noticed something about his wisdom. And we could understand. I'm not going to take time and read it to you tonight. But I could take you back to 1 Kings chapter 3, where Solomon had that wonderful experience that God said, anything that you want, Saul. It was kind of, one writer put it this way, it was kind of a real life genie in the bottle moment. Amen. Anything that you want, Solomon. And we understand, I'm sure there have been some sort of limitations to that, but understand this, anything that you want, he says, God, give me your wisdom to govern your people. Give me your wisdom to govern your people. And I would say, once again, the church needs to pray for such a wisdom in these days. How can we govern the church? How can we help people? That should be in our hearts. She came and she saw his wisdom. His wisdom was a gift from God. She's seen, notice this, I want you to listen to me tonight and get all this in. She's seen his wisdom, which was amazing. She's seen the house that he had built. And man, you go back and begin to read the chapters in 1 Kings describing the house in which he built. She even looked at the food on his table. Hallelujah. It says, and even noticed the seating of the servants, how prestigious and how well-mannered and how proper and how just all of this is put together. She noticed the food on the table, the seating of the servants, the service of the waiters, and even their apparel, the way that they presented themselves. Amen. She noticed all of this about them. She noticed his cupbearers as well. Can I say something right here, church? And I want this to be taken in the right context. The church and the world and the Queen of Sheba's with a searching heart ought to be able to come and see something about the way that we carry ourselves, about the way that we present ourselves, about our character and about our attitudes and about our fellowship and about our personalities. Amen. They ought to be able to come and realize there's something different about a Christian. There's something different about them folks up there at that church. They ought to notice something different about you on the job, the way that you present yourself. Amen. The way that you eat your lunch, and not so much the way that you pick up the food, but just your demeanor, your conversation, everything about you, they should notice about you, and it can glorify God. I never believe in this faith that can disconnect itself from the way you live. No, sir. She can notice something all about his life, but that didn't stop there. It says on down there in verse 5, I believe it is. Yes, verse 5. It says she noticed the apparel of the waiters, the cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord. I took a little time to study that out. What was so amazing about the way that Solomon went up to the house of the Lord? Think about this. She's already been to his house. This is nice, Solomon. I mean, this looks good. You know, the waiters, man, look, you know, this is good. The culinary and all, this is wonderful. Man, look at that gold up there. Solomon, you have a wonderful home that you live in here. And he says, oh, just, well, you hadn't seen it yet. You hadn't seen it yet. You ought to see the way that we worship. You ought to see the house of God that we are a part of. There's a temple that was God's design and God's will. And you know what it says? That she noticed his ascent by why he went up into the house of the Lord. The way that he prepared himself to worship. The way that he worshiped the God that he loved. The way that he sacrificed to the God that he loved. Now, I did a little reading about this, and I'm sure that, you know, it depends on who you read, you might get a little different information about this. But I read about the steps that went up into the temple. I read about how beautiful the temple was. And once again, you can go through 1 Kings there and read, and there's other in Chronicles there, tells you how beautiful and how splendorous this temple was. Ezekiel 40 and 26, talking about that heavenly tabernacle, said that there were 70 steps that went up to the place of worship. It was a place that was elevated. It was a place that was consecrated. It was a place that was sacred. But you know what, brothers and sisters? Let me just put a bookmark there. We'll come back to Solomon in a moment. The world ought to realize something about you and the way that you attend church and your faithfulness to the house of the Lord and your desire to be among God's people and the way that we preach the word and the way that we worship and the way that we sacrifice and the way that we participate. Participation is required in the things of God. Let them notice that about us. You're telling me, I've had them say before, you're telling me that you go to church 3 times a week, and I said, I'd go more if I could. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why is that? Because there ought to be something about the way that we worship. Yes. Nice house, Solomon. But man, y'all can worship. That's a beautiful temple that you're a part of. The church is to be a beautiful thing. Now, I was reading about this because I wanted to understand what it was saying. One writer said it was the steps that they went up. But not only that, that Solomon most likely even gave her a glimpse into what they did in the temple. and explained the significance of what they did with the sacrifices, and explained what it is to be somebody that serves Jehovah God, and what it is to serve the God that brings them through the Red Sea, what it is to serve the God of David, what it is to serve Him. And most likely He would take His time and explain that to her. But I want you to notice something right here. I don't believe it was His personal wisdom that took her breath away. I don't believe it was the food on the table that took her breath away. I don't believe it was the seating of the servants, and I don't believe it was the service of the waiters and their apparel. And I don't even believe that the cupbearers took her breath away. But as soon as she saw the way that Solomon went up into the house of the Lord, and how much effort had been put in to the things of God, it said at the end of verse 5, it says, and there was no more spirit in her. She seen the glory of this God. Not only did she see it, I believe she could feel it. I believe she could comprehend it. I believe maybe there was a goosebump that went up and down her backbone, and she realized that she was entering into a place of holiness. There's an ark in there. There's an altar in there. There's a lamp in there. There's a priesthood in there. There's this golden facility is what she was looking at. But my, she was seeing how they worshiped. Church, hear me tonight. There was a time to where the world could look at the church and realize we meant it, and realize we believed it. And know what? They may have come into a Pentecostal church, and they may have thought you were plumb crazy if you spoke in tongues. But they could not deny that something touched their soul. They could not deny that the God that we serve, and the experiences that we have, and the tears that we shed, and the sacrifice, and the burden, and the weeping, and the crying, and the intercession, and the praying, and the singing. They had to realize, they had to take a moment and say, look, I may not understand all of this, and I may not see all of this, and we don't do this back in Sheba where I'm from, but my, there's something about these people and their dedication to the God in which they serve. I hope it could be that a stranger could come off them streets, come into this church, and they could care less about the color of the carpet, what kind of chandeliers you have, or anything else, but they can simply say, them folks believe what they believe. And they can feel what it is to live for them to be a living transaction between a person and a holy God. When I was younger, once again, I often say this, you know, I take for granted, I was raised in this, and I'm glad of it. Now, when I was a little younger, I kind of, you know, was a little hesitant about us, you know, them Pentecostals, you know, they say, oh, you're Pentecostal. And I'm like, well, yeah, you know, oh, you're one of those. You know, we would have them tent meetings, and they said, invite folks. I'm like, I ain't inviting nobody, you know. I don't want anybody to come up there's tent meeting and see how these folks act up here and glorifying God. I'll tell you, God will take the pride right out of you. God will do it. Remember the first time the Lord moved on me and I shouted underneath the power of the Holy Ghost. Tell you one thing, I didn't make it up. I didn't know what kind of music they were playing, could have cared less. But I knew one thing, there was something real about this. But where did that come from? I've watched my own mother. When I was younger, at camp meetings, we would go to camp meetings. I remember it'd be 500 people in one church. I mean, fill the building up. They put chairs out, and I remember on the very back they would have folding chairs. And when the Lord was moving, people were just rejoicing that sometimes that someone would stand up on that back chair just trying to see what was going on, around them. And I remember looking back there one time, and Mama shouting while she's standing on a fold-out chair. Amen. I've been to foot washes where they shouted in the water. I've been to communion services where there have been message in tongues given. You know what? I didn't understand it as a young man. I didn't understand it as a teenager. But I knew they meant it, and I knew it was real. Yes. And I'm telling you what I'm facing as a pastor. They want to tell me that it ain't real anymore. I want to tell you, if you want to grow a church, Brother Derek, you know, you don't, that whole Pentecostal way, you know, you got to get more ethical about your ways. You don't need to push that Holy Ghost on anybody. You know, it's just not for everybody. And the initial evidence of speaking in other tongues, it's out the door. You know, that was them guys in the early 1900s. You know, we modern Pentecostals are just kind of, you know, you don't have to speak in tongues. It's not necessary to be. You know, everybody gets the Holy Ghost. And I'm telling you, that's the opposite feeling that I get in prayer. When I get down and pray, I don't feel like loosening up the grip at all. I feel like tightening down a little more. Why is that? Because I believe it's real. And the Word
church speaks about it, and the apostles spoke in tongues, and Mary spoke in tongues, and Paul spoke in tongues, and we can speak in tongues. And you say, is it just in the tongue? You know I'm not saying that, but it's evidence of a real, genuine, empowering experience of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Let them see the way we worship, church. Let them see the way we worship. Let them see the gifts of the Spirit in operation. Let them see the preachers get anointed. Let them see the singers get anointed. Let them see your sacrifice. Let them see your zeal. Let them see your fervency of spirit. Don't be ashamed of it. Let them see it. Let them see it. I want my kids to see it. Amen, brothers and sisters out there. And me as well. Let's keep on shouting and rejoicing. My daughter realizes it. Amen. We'll have a good Holy Ghost service sometimes, and where the Lord allows people to rejoice in the Lord, and my daughter will talk about it all week long. Amen. And she'll say, what happened to service? And she'll go, woo! And she'll say, amen and hallelujah. She don't understand what you're doing, but I'm glad she sees it. I'm glad she sees it. Please don't stop. Let them see our worship. Amen. So, the results of this. She sees all of this. The food's good. Nice house, Solomon. My, how y'all worship. Takes her breath away. The results of this is there's no more spirit left in her. And I did a little cross-reference here, and I found a great place in the Bible. You can write it down, Joshua 5 and 1. You find the same exact phrase. When the children of Israel coming on the other side of the Jordan River, and they're talking there, and all the people of Canaan there are talking, and they're saying, "My, the God of the children of Israel." And it says they melted with fear, and there's no spirit left in them. It's actually a sense of divine reverence. This breath being taken away was a sense of reverence. I mean, it's just she's in awe about what she is seeing. And my, don't let us lose our sense of awe in the church. I have been to a few places in this world and seen a great creation. I've stood at the ocean before and just kind of, man, that's pretty. I've been to the mountains and done the same thing. Some of you, I've heard, I've talked to some of you. Some of you have been to Niagara Falls. Some of you have been to the Grand Canyon. Some of you have been to some of the most beautiful things. You can even stand at a skyscraper, look up and say, man, that's mighty big up there. But guess what? When you live in New York, you don't lose your breath about skyscrapers anymore, do you? When you live at the ocean, even though I'm sure you have your moments and you stand there and say, man, this is pretty, you get used to the ocean. When you live in the mountains, you get used to the mountains. When you live in Hampton, you get used to Hampton. But interesting is this. I've never been to New York City. Now, a person who lives downtown New York might say, well, you know, this is New York. I'm going to go downtown and say, wow. But this is a fact. The more you're around something, the more you get used to it. That's what happens. But it's also of the church. Sometimes we're just used to it. We're used to the singing. We'll sing a hymn and not even know what we're singing about. We sing it from memory. It's actually good sometimes. Pick up your hymn book, even if you know the song, look at the words and let them resonate within your spirit. We're so used to praying that we just pray out of habit. Everybody else is praying, let's pray. We're so used to giving, we just give because we know we're supposed to give. We understand what I'm saying. You can get accommodated to this. Sometimes you've got to see the kingdom through the eyes of a stranger. And just like here, she goes on to say, and she said to the king, it was true report that I heard in my own land of thy acts of wisdom. She said, yes, it is true, everything that I heard about it. She says that in verse 6, but she said, I had to see it for myself. Now, I was reading about this and kind of got a little, carrying a little, another cross-reference. John chapter 1, John the Baptist, two disciples. And Jesus is talking to them. He says, come and see. And the Bible says they came to see and they saw. And then there's a man by the name of Nathanael sitting under this tree. And they're saying, we found the Messiah. We found the Son of God. And where's he from? He's from Nazareth. Ain't nothing good coming out of there. Oh yeah? Come and see. Understand this, when you have a fresh perspective, and when you have a jealousy for the things of God, and what we need tonight is a renewal in that jealousy. Not being, we look around, but not just to look around anymore, but to be taken in awe at His presence. And you won't mind looking at your neighbor and saying, come to Abundant Life Tabernacle and see what I'm talking about. I'm not just saying, hey, look, I know there's good people there and all that. No, but come and see. Come and experience. Come and see what God is doing. We need to have that jealousy once again. The half has not been told. She said, I heard about it. Everybody's describing it. But until I saw it myself and felt it for myself, I didn't even comprehend it. Let it be of us once again. Notice verse 8. This is her proclamation. Happy are thy men. Happy are these thy servants which stand continually before thee and that hear thy wisdom. Oh, let them look at us and say, blessed are you that you get to be in the presence of God. That's why David could say, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my Lord than dwell in the tent of the wicked. He said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper. He said, a day in your courts is better than 1,000. That's fresh perspective. Oh, wouldn't that be wonderful that we could say, one day, one Sunday in the house of the Lord is better than 1,000 days out there in the world. Just one day, but we're blessed with these days all the time. Guess what? I'd rather be a doorkeeper. Blessed are we that get to dwell in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lords, we're blessed here tonight. Blessed are ye. He said, blessed is your Lord, is what she goes on to say. Blessed is your Lord. Oh, I could go on, because this isn't the first time. You'll find in 1 Kings 5 and 8 when he's building the temple. Hiram, the man Hiram, looked at him. He said, blessed are they. Blessed is the God of Solomon and David. Blessed. They realize that we are blessed to be in His presence. They may look at us from the streets and they may see us as maybe different, as maybe as those that try to live too holy of a life. They may look at us as just another church up and down Big Bethel Road. But no, that's not the perspective. It's this, blessed are we that get to live in the presence of God Almighty. And guess what the Bible says in verse 10? It says, as she did, it says, and she gave the king 120 talents of gold and of spices very great in store and precious stones. There came no more such abundance of spices than what she gave. Once she seen Solomon and the glory of God, she looked at everything she had and realized that it wasn't all that important anymore. Thought I had something till I seen all this. She come to make a show. To be honest with you, I read about this a little bit. They would come in a great caravan because they wanted somebody to realize, who is this in town? But after she's seen everything that God had blessed Solomon with and seen the way she worshiped, she said, you know what? Just keep the caravan. Here's the salt and pepper. Here's the spices. And there's a little bit of oregano in there for you, Solomon. Here's all this gold. I'm going to go on back and tell them, my eyes have seen the glory of the God of heaven. Let that be said once again. How do you get them to take all the things of the world and just leave them alone? How do you get them to abandon sin? Let them see the glory of God. When they see the glory of God through your worship and your faithfulness, once they see the glory of God's house, they begin to realize, you know what, all that mess I'm a part of really ain't that important anyhow. Once you get a glorious vision of God, it means absolutely nothing. Go with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, if you would. I want to make one more point here tonight, and I'd love to get in these altars and pray. Matthew chapter 12 here this evening. And this is that reference I mentioned to you. It's also mentioned in the book of Luke. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 42. And this verse right here is actually a verse of warning against all of those who are accommodated with the presence of God and reject it and don't take notice of it. Matthew 12 and 42, listen to what it says. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. in context what Jesus is saying. Israel, I've come to you. I've come to you. I'm God, the Son of God, the incarnate one. I've come to you. But years ago, there was a queen that traveled thousands, potentially thousands of miles, hundreds of miles, just to behold Solomon and his wisdom, his house, and the temple in which he built. But Jesus is saying, Israel, I'm right at your back door. And you don't even have the courtesy to go in your backyard and to admire the glory of God. And he warns them that the Queen of Sheba is going to rise up in judgment against you because you've taken me for granted when she's seen the necessity to come, to hear, to see, to leave all, and I took her breath away. Church, what can that be said of us in the church that live in this dispensation where Jesus has already died? He's already rose from the grave. He's already sent the Holy Ghost. You have the canon of Scripture that you get to read. You get to go boldly before the throne of grace. You don't even have to climb 70 steps to get there. But yet we can take Him for granted, and coming to church is just something we're supposed to do on Sunday. And at times, if we're not careful, we can't wait till it's over. I hope that ain't the case. But there should be something said about us that says one day in His presence is better than 1,000. Than 1,000. In this world. I'd rather be a doorkeeper at Abundant Life Tabernacle. I'd rather shake hands at the door. I'd rather sit in the pew. I'd rather just be there than dwell in the tents of the wicked. One day I wonder in judgment what will happen to those who take for granted presence of God that we have right now. Stand to your feet tonight. Stand to your feet tonight. My God, help us. Happy are ye. Church, you ought to be happy tonight if you feel any ounce of His presence. You know what that word glory means in the Bible? It means weight in a good sense. It's weighty presence. So, Brother Derek, what's the glory of God? It's when you come to church and you can feel His presence. It's when you're at home and you can, that's His glory. I'm going to tell you, His glory is in this room here tonight. But it's possible that you can be so accommodated to His glory that you don't feel it like you need to. We need to be more God conscious. The Queen of Sheba would travel that far just to see Solomon, just to see him worship. I wonder how much effort will you give to be in His presence, to do His will, and to follow God wherever He wants you to go. Let me ask you, let me put it this way. It says that her spirit left her, which means her breath. It was taken from her. Does Jesus still take your breath away? Does this still excite your heart? To be a Christian. To be a Christian. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's close our eyes and ask God right now. We're going to pray in these altars, but I want to ask God to sanction this altar call. God, tonight, help us. Help us. Help us, Lord. Help us to be God conscious. Hallelujah. That Queen of Sheba has traveled hundreds of miles. And it said she's never seen nothing like it in her life. But God, many of us live a few miles up the road. We're right there at your presence every moment. If we get to live in your presence, and God will take it for granted on a daily basis if we're not careful. But God, I would right now, Lord Father, sometimes we have to see the kingdom through the eye of a stranger. Through the eyes of a stranger. To realize what it is to be forgiven, to serve God, and to feel His divine presence. To feel His divine presence. Hallelujah. 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 Find your place to pray here this evening. Get to them pews. Empty them pews and find your place to pray this evening. Oh, get a fresh glimpse of His glory. Don't take it for granted. Don't take it for granted. See the kingdom through the eyes of a stranger. God, for fresh perspective. Hallelujah. God, Lord, let us feel Your presence anew.